بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى يؤذيني ابن آدم يسب الدهر وأنا الدهر بيدي الأمر أقلب الليل والنهار وأيضا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن قلوب بني آدم بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن يقلبها كيف يشاء وأيضا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة قيل وما إخلاصها قال أن تحجزه عن محارم الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make whatsoever is being mentioned a means of our hidayat and the hidayat of entire mankind at large. We should always be sitting with this, that how I can benefit, how I can change my life, how I can become a better Muslim. All the time this should be in our hearts. And this is such an important factor. Now when we consider this hadith of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ زِرَعًا إِلَىٰ آخر الحديث, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whosoever tries to come towards me one span, I come towards him one hand. He who tries to come towards me one hand, I come towards him two hands. He who tries to walk towards me, I will run towards him. Now if we ponder and deliberate and contemplate over this beautiful hadith of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does it mean? How much more I can do? As a mark of example, it has become maybe my habit. I generally come, you know, at the time of Iqama for Salah. No, I am now going to change. I want to come closer to Allah. I'll come when the Azan goes. That is what you say, Man taqarraba. I want to become closer. Allah Ta'ala will give you tawfiq of doing even more. This is what we realize, that our yaqeen must come onto that. Our belief must come onto that. The more I strive, I remember a person telling me many years ago, he says that, you know, Maulana, we were in Hajj together, so he tells me, I looked at the Kaabatullah and I made dua, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq of coming onto 5 times Salah. He made a niyat. He is now taqarraba, he's coming closer to Allah. Subhanallah, on that alone, Allah Ta'ala gave him so much tawfiq. Not only is he 5 times Salah with Jama'ah, Allah changed his life so much, so particular of every aspect of deen. So all of us that are seated here, let us make an intention. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلِلْ إِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَ مَعَذِيرًا, every person knows his own soul. You know, we all know, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our wrongdoings, our sins, etc. We can make 1,000 excuses, but we know within ourselves. So imagine in this Mubarak day, at this Mubarak time, if you all have to say, Allah, I'm making tawbah. I want to give up whatever sins are in my life. Whichever what can it be, whether it's lies, cheating, whether it's whatever it can be. Oh Allah, I am making tawbah. If I am not on salah, I want to come on salah. This is what we say, this is your first step towards hidayat. You are making an intention. We are coming always for Jummah. Let me see if I can become a better Muslim. Let me strive, let me try, let me make this effort. Inshallah Aziz, when you will try, Allah will give us tawfiq inshallah. And respected elders and brothers, understand that all things, khair is only and totally in the hands of Allah. This is that yaqeen, this is that belief, this is that conviction we need to bring into our lives. Yaqeen everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In me turning towards Allah, Allah will open all doors of khair for me. Like today there's a nikah on. But if you want barakat in your nikah, if you want barakat in your happy relationship, in your between your the spouses, between the two of you, in your families, in your entire life, what is it? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah give us yaqeen. Say ameen. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whosoever does good deeds from amongst you, be it a male or a female, and has belief, has yaqeen, has this, that whatever I do in the obedience of Allah, Allah will give me a hayatan tayyiba. My Ustaz rahmatullah alayhi says, when we'll have deen, jeete jeete jannat mein jayenge. Your life in this dunya will be in jannat inshallah, and thereafter and thereafter. When there'll be deen in our lives, even when calamities will come upon us, but actually it will be a rahmah to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be an azab. Why? Because we are in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand that everything, every solution, every way is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take for example, you know, a person can say, look, my mind tells me, you know, if I speak a lie here, I can get away. I'll be able to make so many thousands more. You know, my mind, I plan all this thing like that. Now, is that belief in what I understand, what I can outwardly see? On the other hand, we understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly says that as-sidq tunji, that speaking the truth will save you, will give you success. Speaking lies will lead to your destruction. Now, where's my iman? Where's my yaqeen? In what I can see, you know me, I'll speak a lie, I'll deceive this person, I'll get away like this, I'll make so much. That is what my mind tells me. Yaqeen and belief. This is the crux, and this is that most important factor. Where is my iman? Or what I understand, what I can see, or what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have told us, and where's the promise? This is what this so important aspect that we all need to develop, this yaqeen, this belief. Now, when our pious elders used to always tell us, whatever sins that we see around us, what is the sabab, what is the cause that our people are sinning, disobeying, breaking Allah's commands? Weakness of iman. When a sister, for example, will dress up shamelessly, her body is exposed to the whole dunya, she has forgotten that Allah is basir, Allah is watching, Allah knows everything, Allah is there. She has forgotten that, she doesn't understand that, she doesn't realize that. This is that weakness of iman, that Allah is watching, and still she's indulging in sin. So in this way, everything, understand this factor, that in the obedience of Allah is my success. Take this example, when you talk about this, one side we've got what our mind may tell us, one side is our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our belief in Allah. As our elder says, that weakness of iman is the cause of all sin. When that person has this, that, you know, if I speak a lie, I'll get away. Speaking the truth, I will not get anything. This is the weakness of iman. And we find, subhanallah, we find examples and advices by our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This comes back to iman. Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, mentions, when the buyer and when the seller both are sincere, they don't want to cheat one another. When the buyer says that I'm going to pay you in 30 days, he's sincere about it. In fact, his intention is to pay him in 20 days. He's sincere, he's truthful in his words. And when the seller is selling the item, when he says this is the quality of it, he's speaking the truth. If there are any defects, he's sincere about it. He says, no, there's a defect. When we have this kind of understanding, and the person has this trust, that I must be truthful, the buyer must be truthful, the seller is truthful, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, in that transaction, there is barakat. Now, this is where I may not see that barakat, but I must have that belief, that in there is my barakat. In the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is barakat. Understanding that Allah ta'ala is alimun bizati sudur. This is iman. Allah is knowing everything in our hearts. Allah is aware of everything in our hearts. Allah is Sami. Allah is all listening. Allah is Basir. Allah is all watching. Allah is aware of everything. And this is this belief. And this is that belief we need to bring into our hearts. When we did it in madrasa, we may have done it basically ritual, not understanding. When I said, Amantu billah, kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami' ahkami. What did I say? Maybe I just by heart did it that time. I believe in Allah with all His names and qualities. Allah is Sami. Allah is Basir. Allah is all listening. Even when I'm alone and I'm talking to one person, Allah is the third. Allah knows that conversation that we had. Likewise, we find if when a person thinks that, you know, Allah is not watching, I can be under the mat, I can be under the blanket, and I can do some talking to somebody and chatting to somebody on my cell phone, or I am doing something and I'm looking at some porn, thinking Allah is not watching. This is the weakness of Iman. I have forgotten that my Allah is watching. We need to bring this belief, this yaqeen, and inshallah when that yaqeen is there, then the person will stay away from all the sins. And this lesson has to be constantly mentioned, spoken about. Allah is Sami, Allah is Basir, Allah is Qadir over everything, Allah has power over everything. If I think I'm going to get away, we can never ever get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is aware of everything, and Allah can take us to task for everything. And look at subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Noon, an example. When people will have the wrong belief. There was a very interesting incident and it shows us a big lesson here. This is father, mashallah. He had a very beautiful business. He had a very beautiful, beautiful farm. But he had this quality. That, you know what? I must, as we learn from Quran, that I must take out a 10% of whatever harvest, I must give it to the poor. This was his system. Yearly he used to give. Once the harvest time season come, the poor would come and he would give it to them. After the father passed away, now the brothers among themselves said, you know, father is old fashioned. No man, we must even take that other 10%. We must also take that other 10%. Why must we give it to the poor? So what we will do, early part of the night we'll go and we'll take everything. So when these poor peasants will come in the morning, early part of the morning, we will be already gone, we would have taken everything. This is what their plan is. What do you say? They chalaki. That they very clever. They will get away. They will get away. They won't give these people anything. When they go in the early part of the night to go to their farm, suddenly they're looking, where's our farm? Where's our farm? Our farm is no more. They're going there all the time. They can't see their farm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed that entire farm. Now they're regretting. Oh, we did this wrong. We had this wrong intentions. Allah's azab came. This is when that important factor in the obedience of Allah, we may not see it. But that's where the barakat is. That is where the happiness is. That is where the security is. And on the other hand, when the person thinks, I'll do it my way, and have this cheating and trying to get away, look, we are looking for trouble. When Allah's azab will come, Allah knows best. Look at this beautiful example. Many a time we have heard it. A lesson of some basir, Allah is aware, Allah is watching. Allah is Sami again. We find this beautiful incident when Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayh was going to seek knowledge. His mother gave him a beautiful advice. Beta, you're going to study, don't talk lies. Don't talk lies. But there must have been that tarbiyah at home. Allah is watching, Allah is listening, Allah knows everything in the heart. Constant that imani effort has to be made. The impact of that, the effects of that, when he's traveling on this caravan, and when those highway robbers come, they see this young boy there, this young man over there, they leave him, and they loot and they take everything from everybody else. Then the leader of that group, of these highway robbers ask Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayhi, "Do you have anything?" "Yes, I've got inside my vest gold coins that my mother has given me." This highway robber, this leader, is thinking to himself, "It's very truthful. You sure you got?" He said, "Yes. Check on my vest." And they find it on his vest. Take it out. The gold coins are there. But subhanallah, this person began to question, this highway robber began to ask him some questions. "What made you speak the truth? Besides saying that my mother said me to speak the truth." It hit him. It struck him in his heart that my Allah is Sami, my Allah is Basir. This youngster is teaching me a lesson of Iman. I must not talk lies. I'll be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that lies. At the same time, Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah is teaching us all an important lesson in speaking the truth. In speaking the truth is your success, is your savior. This person reflects now. Look at this young boy teaching me the lesson of Iman. And all these years I've been doing this, I've been indulging in haram. He and his entire group, there and there make tawbah. There and there they make tawbah. And they join Abdul Qadir Jailani and their entire lives change. What is it? This is that yaqeen, that iman, that belief. He spoke the truth. He had this belief. Allah Ta'ala saved his money and everybody, the entire caravan got their money. Now when does this yaqeen come? When does this belief come? When we constantly talk about it. When we constantly sit in these kinds of muzakara and discussions. That Allah Ta'ala is the controller. Allah Ta'ala is the doer of everything. And on the occasion of the battle of Khandaq, the battle of trench, Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam is with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They decide to dig a trench whereby they can separate themselves from the enemies. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, give and take were approximately 1,500, 2,000. Enemy 10,000 are coming to attack them. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, got no food in their stomachs. They are starving. Some of them got one stone on their bellies. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got two stones in his belly. This is the difficulties that they are. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told there's a huge boulder, none of us can break it. Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the axe, and when he strikes it, Allah had given him that power, and that first, when it splits, and the sparks that come out, Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, "You are going to conquer Yemen. On the second strike, you are going to be defeating the Romans. On the third strike, you'll be defeating the Persians." Giving them all this glad tidings. When and how? At a time when they are at the lowest ebb. They're in this situation that, you know what? You are going to be destroyed. These 10,000 enemies are going to finish you up. You got no chance. There are superpowers like this. The Romans, the superpowers of the Persians, all these countries, you're talking about defeating them? So the hypocrites began to mock Rasulullah and Sahaba. Where they can do this? They got no food in their stomach. 10,000 of the Arabs and the Jews are coming to attack them. They are going to be swallowed up any time now. And yet Rasulullah is giving stories. It's like he's in a fairy tale that they are going to defeat the Romans and the Persians. It was this kind of, you know, mockery of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they look at what they can see only. They forget the greatness of Allah. They forget the power of Allah. That everything is only in the control of Allah. And we need to have this yaqeen. In the obedience of Allah is my success. Power is in the hands of Allah. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals his ayat, قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير انك على كل شيء قدير. Ponder over these ayats. Allah give us yaqeen in this ayat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is told to tell to the people, قل, say to them, قل اللهم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all the kingdoms. Every country is only and totally in the control of Allah ta'ala. Allah can give it to whomsoever He wants. Whether it is a country, whether it's a province, whether it's a city, whatever, wherever, all are in the control of Allah. And Allah will give it to whomsoever He wants. And Allah will snatch it from whomsoever He wants. He'll give it to whomsoever He wants and He can snatch it from whomsoever He wants. It is in His power. It is in His control. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُزِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah will honor whomsoever He wants. Allah will degrade whomsoever He wants. Once I have this understanding that Allah has power over everything, I need to talk to Allah. Why do I need to go to the makhluk? Why do I have to look towards the makhluk? I need to the creation. I need to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every need of mine. This Allah reveals to everyone to make us realize everything is only in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see when we have this belief, when we have this yaqeen, subhanallah, it wasn't very long. In that very battle of Khandaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends such a tornado that his entire enemy have to run away from there. This was in the 5th year of Hijri. By the time it was the 15th year of Hijri, approximately 10 to 12 years later, entire Sham and Persia, the entire Roman area, Yemen, all these countries come into the control of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Allah gives them the control. What is it? It is that iman, it is that yaqeen. Now my respected elders and brothers, we today are in this dilemma. We are in this condition. We are in this worry. You know what? There is so much things are happening around us. There is so much of issues happening. We've got the, maybe you can say, you know, throughout the world, like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that there will be, the most corrupt will be your leaders. Throughout the world, the people we talk about corrupt leaders. We talk about conditions that are so bad. We are all concerned about this. Now is the time for us to ponder upon a very important hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all the hearts of all the kings are in my control. And I am the one that will either make them be kind to you or make them be harsh to you. If you go about swearing them, insulting them and cursing them, it will not affect, because their hearts are in Allah's control. Like in another hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna quluba bani Adam bayna isbayna bayna asabi Rahman yuqallibuha kayfa yasha." Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned everybody's hearts are between the two fingers of Rahman, and He will turn it in whichever way. How Allah wills. Allah can make them good to us. Allah can make them harsh towards us. Allah can make our wives good to us. Allah can make them harsh towards us. Allah can make our children good to us. Allah can make them the cools of our eyes. Or Allah can make them disobedient to us. Allah can make the mayor good to us or bad to us. Allah can make the counselor good or bad. Leaders likewise. In every aspect, Allah is the controller. Rasulullah says that Allah says, don't go about cursing them. Put your actions right. Put our a'mal right. Put that right. When you will make tawbah, when we all will make tawbah, when we all will make istighfar, when we all will give up whatever haram is in our lives, Think about it, whether it's regarding myself, whether it's regarding my family, whether it's regarding my relatives, whether it's regarding my community. In every angle I need to see, if I want khair, if I want goodness, if we want goodness, we all want goodness, we all want good conditions to come. Understand, realize, we all have to make our own personal islah. We all have to rectify ourselves. We all have to make tawbah. One side is where we can come onto salah. One side you must give up those sins, whether it is lies, cheating, deceiving, drugs, alcohol, shamelessness, zina, all these things. If every Muslim makes tawbah from that, every Muslim make tawbah from that, every Muslim decide to protect their eyesight and not indulge in all this haram, we all make this dua. Allahumma arhamna bi tarkil maasi abadam ma baqaytana, say ameen. Allahumma arhamna bi tarkil maasi abadam ma baqaytana. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us that we give up all sin forever and ever. How does this happen? All of us that are sitting in this gathering, we first make an intention, we will change our lives. Likewise, we're going to make an effort that we will make on our children and our family members, that they make tawbah, they change their lives. Go and tell our sister, my sister, my mother, my daughter, whoever it is, remember when you will wear those tight-fisting clothes and being shameless, remember as the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes, Allah's curse is upon you. You are